sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine or a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her, with tambourines and with dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." Join me in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, still our hearts and our minds. Bring us to hear your message. Help me to bring your message to these, your people. In the name of the Christ, amen. We've been talking about Moses for the last few weeks, which is kind of appropriate since we as a church are on a journey, as Moses was with the children of Israel. We talked about Moses as a baby, Moses at the burning bush, and if you have not been downstairs to see the burning bushes on the wall that the children made, you ought to do that. We talked about Moses confronting Pharaoh just last week with the Passover being the end of that and the Israelites being allowed to leave. And then in the scripture, just following that, the Israelites leave, and then Pharaoh changes his mind again and comes after them. God plants fire between the people and the soldiers, allowing them to get to the edge of the sea, and Moses raises his hand, and the seas part, and the children walk through on dry land. And now today's scripture is as those children, those followers of God, have arrived on that shore and have just seen their enemies covered in water, and they begin to celebrate. They actually know that they are free. So what else would you do? Now, you might figure that I would decide I wanted to talk about the woman Miriam. Now, I'm connected to her for a lot of reasons. First of all, she's an older sister. I have a sister and two brothers, all of whom are younger than me. I've been often called the bossy one. So I figure Miriam was not that much different. And I'm also the daughter of a Southern Baptist preacher. Now, I know many of you may not know what that means, especially not that I, since I grew up in the late 1950s. I was not allowed to dance. Dance was something that the daughter of the Southern Baptist, the pastor of the First Baptist Church, did not do. I could not even square dance. We just did not do that. But of course, as you know me probably well enough to know, it wasn't long, a very few years, till at least I was learning to do the twist with the girls at Girls Auxiliary. And then I went to OBU, Oklahoma Baptist University, where else? And there was a class that I signed up for the very first semester, and it was called Rhythmic Movement. No, they couldn't even call it folk dancing. But it was an all-girl class, and we learned to dance. And before I left that school, I was dancing in the basement of the chapel, and not just with girls. I thought I was free. Of course, leaving OBU helped that a little bit, too. But many years later, when I went to seminary, I found a class at Pacific School of Religion called Sacred Movement, taught by a woman who was a former ballet star, who was very active in the Catholic Church, providing sacred dance as part of the worship service. Although I was not a good dancer, because of course I had not learned when I was young enough to really learn, I did take classes. I learned that dancing was more than just having fun. I learned that it was another way to pray. I learned that even though I didn't have good dancing skills, I could dance to celebrate. I could dance for God. I could dance to show my concern for the world and I could dance to express my profound sadness. Miriam, this older sister of the Bible, is first seen in the Hebrew Bible as the child who follows Moses in those bulrushes, who rescues, when Moses is rescued by the Pharaoh's daughter, she suggests immediately that Moses' true mother take care of him. This meant that Moses learned about his people and his God. Today's scripture, did you hear that word prophet before the word Miriam? The first time in the Hebrew scripture that a woman is called a prophet. Now, I think the Jews probably consider some of the other mothers earlier to be a prophet, but this was the first time it's used in scripture. Miriam and her two brothers are the leaders of these Israelites. So there's kind of a trinity right there. Aaron's the priest, Moses the leader that speaks directly to God, and Miriam, prophet, teacher, and leader of women and children. As the Egyptian soldiers are drowned in the Sea of Reed, Moses praises God for this deliverance. He uses lots of words, those that I didn't read today, probably about 10 or 12 verses worth of words. Miriam praises God in a much simpler language. She takes up her timbrel. She calls the women and children, and probably some of the men, into a dance to praise God who gives freedom. Can you imagine the escape that just occurred? I can't even think about it without thinking about one of the big movies I even saw in the movie theater when I was only 13 years old. I know I'm dating myself. That movie called The Ten Commandments. I know it's on every year, but to see it in a really large screen in 1959, I think it was the Criterion. Those of you who are approaching my age will remember that theater in downtown Oklahoma City. And to see that water part, even though I know that historically that is probably not what happened, is an image that has remained with me forever. And yet, last week, Victor reminded us that in that freedom, there came death to other children of God, to Pharaoh's soldiers. So where do we see yourself? Where do we see ourselves in this? Where do we see ourselves as a church in this story? As an individual, I see myself on the far side of the sea with Miriam and Moses, Aaron, and the rest of the Israelite children, free from the demons and the fundamentalist influence that are from my original upbringing, free from that list of rules I grew up with that were not from God but were from society. I celebrate now, even though I know that there could be another 40 years of travel at the end before the end of my life. Well, that's probably an exaggeration. But who knows? I'll only be 108 in 40 years. Not only can I dance as I celebrate, but Miriam calls me to play an instrument and to sing praises to God who has brought me freedom and who will continue to lead me through the wilderness and to find sweet water in the desert. God has led me from the Southern Baptist Church of my youth to the United Church of Christ and to ordination as an interfaith minister. Certainly, this is not something I would have thought of 50 years ago. So what do we see, or how do we see ourselves as a church? I see that we are emerging from the darkness of a societal-induced bondage. When this church started, there were many who could not even be known publicly to be members of this church because they could easily be labeled and then suffer the indignities of our society. And that was just 1997. We brought light to Oklahoma, being one of the first churches where a same-sex loving couple could be in worship and even hold hands without any thought of, without feeling the need to hide. Some of the journey we've been on has been dangerous. like when the KKK threatened to boycott or protest against our conference on homosexuality and the Bible. Some of it has been sad when one of our members lost custody of her son because of who she loved. Some of it's been glorious when we celebrated with Barb and Vaughn on their 50th anniversary. And when we've celebrated the recent legal marriages of many of the members of our society. We've helped to lead the rest of our culture out of darkness. Of course, there continues to be bondage and darkness. Freedom is not complete, but what a change we've seen. COA was on the cutting edge of the work of God right here in Oklahoma. In the recent years, we've seen a gay state senator and a lesbian state representative. This year, we have that same gay man running for the United States Congress. We had a transgender person almost elected to the Oklahoma State House of Representatives. And we've seen state after state have its ban on same-sex marriage ruled unconstitutional. And this fall, we will hear arguments at the Supreme Court on a consolidated case that may once and for all make that final decision that no matter who you love, love is love. We have much to celebrate. But now we're moving into another phase of our church, just as those Israelites moved into another phase. They didn't know it, but they had 40 years to walk in the wilderness. I'm hoping we don't have 40 years of wilderness. They had been slaves for many years, and their freedom, they just had, as being free, they just had to figure out who they were as followers of God. We've been slaves to prejudice. Now it's our time to look at our journey and to decide what God is calling us to be. Is there another cutting edge that we are supposed to be on? What is our mission for the next few years? What kind of pastor do we want to lead us? Unlike our ancient brothers and sisters who had visual signs of fire and clouds to lead them through the wilderness, we have a process. Now, I know you all, or many of you, are ready to just get on with it. You don't want any more meetings. You don't want to sit around and talk anymore. But that's what we have to lead us. How will we know what to get on with if we don't talk to each other about our dreams? Our process is to talk to each other, to listen to each other, to pray. Yes, pray and listen to God, because that's where our answers will come from. We may not have a pillar of fire to clearly lead us, but we have each other. God is still speaking, but we need to listen. During October and November, that's just next month, several of our leaders will share with you in small groups the New Beginnings report. We will explain the report and listen to your ideas and your reactions. Later in the year, the entire church will meet with a revised report and recommendations about our future. The only way we will get to this next phase or to our promised land is if each of you participate in the process. Be confident that God will speak to this congregation through the voices of its members. We celebrate today in the midst of the journey because we are always in the midst of the journey. Because our God is worthy of praise and adoration at all times. Because we are listening to the words of the prophet Miriam, who said, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." And may it be so.